Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Predators fall in a heartbreaking fashion, 4-3 in overtime last night. They now find themselves down 3-1, game 5 in Vancouver tomorrow night. Another late putt drop, so get your coffee in tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night, whatever you have to do to keep yourself up. But yesterday, it was an absolute bummer. You know, vibes were good. Will Levis took a snap from Lloyd Cushenberry, the catfish snap. Taylor Lewan was chugging beers, and the vibes were good on Sunday, but Predators ultimately blow a 3-1 lead, ultimately fall 4-3 in overtime. Joining us now to break it all down is Robbie Stanley. You can find him every single morning from 6 to 9 a.m. on 102.5 and 106.3 of the game on Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie, I hear a lot of people saying, well, you know, the Predators have been the better team on five in the most part. The Predators were the better team for 55 minutes yesterday. Well, you don't play hockey 5-on-5 in its entirety. You don't play hockey for 55 minutes a game. So if you had to point to the reason or reasons why the Preds now find themselves down 3-1 in the series, what would it be?
Well, I think Vancouver has some superstar players making superstar plays at the big moment, in big moments, and the Predators don't have enough of that, right? I mean, JT Miller, I think, has been outstanding for Vancouver all series long. And the two games that they played on the road here in Nashville, it was Brock Besser. Like, Brock Besser scored 4 goals in those two games, including 3 yesterday. And he finds a way to just get loose, create some soft ice there. And for whatever reason, yesterday, the Predators were just content with kind of leaving him alone. And you can't do that in the playoffs. You have to find a way to get a body on him. And look, I know the last 2 goals that they gave up yesterday in regulation were 6-on-5, and it wasn't from, you know, a lack of effort or anything like that. You had Roman Josi kind of selling out the block shot on the final goal there in regulation. And then there was just a total brain lapse and defensive breakdown on the goal in overtime, where you're leaving somebody alone in the middle of the ice in front of the slot, where they haven't even done that for the most part all series long. So, you know, it's amazing to me. I think the Predators, the game that they have played the worst in this series so far is the one that they've won, and the others have been, I think, pretty good for the most part, especially the 2 at home. But at the end of the day, the only thing anybody cares about is whether you won or you lost, and the Predators, despite playing well for the last 2 games here, find themselves on the brink of elimination.
And that's exactly what we were talking about the last segment. And look, outshooting Vancouver is great and all, but if you can't outscore Vancouver, you're not going to win games, especially in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Things get a little bit weird. You know, you bring up superstars making superstar plays. We haven't seen enough of that from Roman Josi, from, you know, Philip Forsberg got his goal yesterday, nice little kick-in goal. But really, for the most part, the Predators' star players haven't been making star plays. And another player that I haven't really seen do much of anything is Tommy Novak. If you are Andrew Brunet, if you are coaching this Predators team, do you make a couple of lineup changes going into Game 5?
I thought they should have took Novak out before last game. I mean, he's been totally ineffective. It's not just that he's been ineffective. He's been downright bad, in my opinion, in this series. And, you know, I realize Vancouver, particularly the size that they have, is not a great matchup for Tommy Novak. Novak really has never been a very good player in his own end. He's not a defensive player. He's not very strong in his own end. But you live with that because of some of the plays and the natural skill that he can bring to the table offensively. Well, that skill it's hard to come by in this series just because it's a very heavy series. It's very difficult to get to the middle of the ice. And I think he has been a detriment to them in this series. So, honestly, I was kind of expecting Brunet to scratch him yesterday heading into the game. He had some pretty strong comments on Novak on Saturday about how he's waiting around, and this time of the year you can't wait. You've got to initiate. And I thought we could see maybe a Cody Glass, but I was kind of leaning more towards Juuso Parsonen yesterday just because of the size that he brings to the table along with the skill level. So I would make that change. I would go with a Parsonen tomorrow in the lineup over Novak. Do I think that'll actually happen? Probably not. I think you'll probably see the same lineup, because I do think the Predators, deep down, are happy for the most part with what they've played in the last couple of games here. But Novak has been a total non-factor in this series, and that's been really disappointing to see.
We're on the phone with Robbie Stanley discussing the Nashville Predators. You can catch Robbie and Joe from 6 to 9 on these airwaves on 102.5 The Game. Now, Robbie, I look at this series from this standpoint. This should be a 3-1 series the other way. Now, you can give Vancouver the third game. They pretty much, you know, they were putting it on the Predators, you know. But I think the other three games, Nashville pretty much, they were up in majority of these games heading into the last period. Do you think they can overcome some of the mistakes that they've made? Because as we know, majority of these games, they play well. It hasn't been flawless, but it just seems like toward the end of each game or the point in the game where they just, I don't want to sit here and say they lose focus, but that's what it seems like, Robbie. So do you think this thing is, do you think they can come back from a 3-1 deficit?
I do not. I think last night is the type of game that you lose that's not an official series clincher. But doesn't it kind of feel like it? Like, doesn't last night's game and the way that you lost the game kind of feel like it's over? And look, I expect the Predators in Game 5, whatever they've got left in the tank, I expect them to empty it out. I mean, there's a lot of prideful guys in that locker room. I don't think that the Predators are just going to waltz into Vancouver and lay down and get run over in Game 5. But now you've got to win three games in a row to win the series. Two of them are coming in Vancouver. And, oh, by the way, if you win Game 5, there's a 5-hour trip back to Nashville and then another 5-hour trip back to Vancouver after that in order to do it. It's a lot to ask for this Predators team. So, it's amazing to me. I mean, think about what a 4-minute stretch of play has done to this series. Had they held on last night, we'd be talking about they evened it up 2-2. They've been the better team in the last two games. Vancouver's dealing with injury problems. They're on their third goaltender. And I think most people would feel great about the Predators and their chances to close this thing out. And you have a 4-minute lapse where you just let things totally get away from you, and it feels like the series is over. That's how thin the margin is in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, you're right. And what adds insult to injuries, what you just said, they've been through three goalies in a playoff series. You would think if your first goalie goes down, who's awesome, you go to your second goalie, the odds of you winning diminishes. And then you go to your third goalie, it's basically, you know, at the bottom. But they found a way to pull it out. And that's the frustrating part about it, is that you're going against their backup goalie. And I understand the guy's an NHL player, so, you know, he can play. But it's your third goalie, a guy that didn't expect to play, and y'all still couldn't get enough shots on this goalie to cause him to sort of get outside of his game. More importantly, you look at that overtime, and you know, who are you? Because I don't know who to blame for this one. If there's anybody to blame, what happened on that last goal? Because again, it seems like there was a miscommunication. You had two guys going to the boards to get the puck, which left nobody in front of the net. That was a major, just major blunder.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it seems like there was a pretty clear miscommunication between Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly, and Lindholm was wide open in the middle of the ice, and he had McDonough and Shen behind the net. McDonough was trying to close off Dakota Joshua along the wall. Shen was coming down to Garland to prevent him from wheeling around the net, and Lindholm was just standing there wide open in the middle of the ice. I mean, he could have pitched a tent in the middle of the ice. He was so wide open. And you saw Ryan O'Reilly kind of swing around and start heading toward the right circle there, and Forsberg was up trying to cover the point, and neither one of them covered the man in the middle. And it's a really tough spot to have a mental breakdown like that, obviously. D-Mace, I think what hurts worse is you're talking about guys that have played a ton of hockey and a ton of postseason hockey. Like, they've been in huge moments before. It would be one thing if, like, a Spencer Stastny or a Luke Evangelista made mistakes like that. I mean, they're rookies. They're young players. But you're talking about guys that have played at a high level, done a whole lot of winning before, and really just had a mental lapse at the worst possible time. And that to me, I think, is what makes it hurt even more is the way you lost the game. It was with a lot of your veteran players out there just making mistakes, and mistakes that you just simply cannot have this time of year.
How do you think UC played yesterday? Obviously, you know, that last goal, there's not much he can do but just try to be tall and wide in the net, because that's straight on right at you. But how do you think UC has played in net this series?
Yeah, it's interesting, because if you look at the numbers, they're horrible. I mean, he's got an .857 save percentage, which is just brutal. It's not good. Now, that's a four-game sample size. Save percentage is more of a really a stat that you pay attention to over the long haul of an 82-game season and in a playoff run if you get deep. I don't think UC Soros has been some gigantic problem in this series, but I also don't think he's been the solution. And if you're paying him the amount of money you're paying him, and certainly if you're going to pay him the amount of money that they might have to pay him should they decide to sign him to a new contract, you need him to be the solution. He can't just be okay. And I think he's been okay so far in this series. So, I said this heading into the series. We talked about it on Robbie and Rex Road. I mean, I think a lot of the decision that Barry Trotz is going to make, not all of it, but a lot, is going to come down to this postseason and the way that Soros plays. And I think he's been fine at times. I thought he was excellent in game two. He's made some big saves in the series. He made some big saves early in the game yesterday. But overall, the numbers are not great. And I think there have been too many times where there have been chances for him to bail you out with a save, and he's not quite done it. And look, the Predators have left him in some vulnerable spots defensively at times in this series. So again, it's not all on him. I don't think that he's been massively bad. But you want an elite goaltender and a guy like Soros to step up and make some saves that he really has no business making. And for the most part, he's not really doing that in this series right now.
Look, I think Barry Trotz's decision should be partially influenced by what happens in the playoffs, because what you do in the playoffs matters. Big money players make big plays when it matters most in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Robbie Stanley is with us. Robbie, I've seen so much commentary from Predators fans. Fire Andrew Brunette. Like, okay, calm down, everybody. Take a chill pill. And I'm not going to place 100% total and complete blame on Andrew Brunette. But one question that I do have for Andrew Brunette is the fact that he is some sort of power play guru, and the Predators are 1-for-15 on the power play in the playoffs. Power play looked better in the latter half of the season, but they can't shoot the puck. They can't get the puck out of their own zone, even in the power play. Well, how would you diagnose this power play, and where would you rank it on the, you know, the list of reasons why the Predators now find themselves down 3-1 in this series?
Well, it's a big problem. I thought particularly in Game 3, when you had three opportunities in the first period to convert and you couldn't get any of those to go for you, I thought that was a big missed opportunity for the Predators. They didn't really spend a ton of time on the power play yesterday. It was more of an even strength game. But no question about it, Caroline, when you're 1-of-15 in the series, that's, you can't win that way. And, you know, the power play is not everything when it comes to this time of the year, but you do need it to score some big opportunistic goals for you. And remember, I think the first power play of the series they had, they scored. That means they've gone 14 in a row without scoring on the power play. And, you know, if there's one thing that I'm noticing on it right now, a couple things. Number one, they're losing too many faceoffs on the power play. So every time you lose a faceoff and it gets cleared down the other way, that's 20, 25 seconds that are burned up right there. They're having a tough time getting established and getting set up after they lose those faceoffs. And I do think there have been times where they've been too passive and they're looking too much for that perfect play rather than sometimes just taking the simple play, putting the puck on net, trying to create some havoc, get to the inside, and seeing what you can do from there. And look, I do think Vancouver deserves some credit, because those guys have stepped up in a big way on the penalty kill, and they've got some huge players that are really difficult to deal with when it comes to, you know, in close, tight quarters, battles for the puck that way. So Vancouver does deserve credit for what they're doing on the penalty kill, but I do think the Predators at times have been way too passive on the power play in this series.
Robbie Stanley, host of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Robbie, is there a game in Nashville on Friday?
I say no. I think the Predators are going to empty the barrel, but I think Vancouver, quite frankly, played about as bad as you're going to see them play the last two games here in Nashville. I think they're going to be fired up. I think they're going to be ready to go. The home crowd's going to be rocking. And I think Vancouver, more than anything, they really don't want to get on a plane back here to Nashville. And I think Vancouver finds a way to win in game five and close this thing out.
Kind of feels that way. Gentleman's sweep, if you will. Robbie, appreciate your time. Thanks for stopping by. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, y'all. Appreciate you having me.
All right. Appreciate it, Robbie. Robbie Stanley, host of Robbie and Rex Road.